God revealed his hidden design to us, which according to his good will and the plan he intended to accomplish through his son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth.
For the last 2 months, we have been journeying through the scriptures, taking time to really get to know the Bible. To do so, we've been using the book Manna and Mercy, which has guided us not through every chapter and verse, but through the themes and patterns of the myriad of stories and experiences captured in the many books of the Bible. This is one of the most important things we can do, especially as those who approach faith from a place of openness and invitation. See, for those who know faith to be rigid and exclusive, they've spent generations claiming authority using the Bible, by also claiming authority in how to read the Bible. But we will not let our stories go. Because we will not let God's vision of abundant life for all people go. Manna and Mercy invites us to see the themes of Scripture through the lenses of the first manna, God's providing in the wilderness, to heed the promise that God provides, and to resist the temptation to gather up more than we need, to resist the temptation to build systems in which some have more than enough and most go without. No big deals and little deals in God's vision. God invites us to be partners in creating a society where all are welcome at the table. A way of being that honors life, creation, and the love for our Creator. We are also invited to recognize the defining role mercy plays in God's vision for humanity. Mercy, the act of choosing relationship over rules, practicing grace in ways that build community. As we seek to live God's ways of righteousness, we must never lose sight of mercy. These are the themes we have seen present themselves over and over throughout all the books of the Bible. From the story of creation, through the Exodus in the wilderness. We saw it in the voices of the prophets and the struggle to be God's people in a new land. We saw it in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Just like we saw it in the fragile beginnings of Christian community, that early church. God shows us again and again that manna and mercy are the divine will. We are invited to hold these ideas close to our hearts so we might hold on to the Bible as a gift and a promise. Having journeyed through the Bible this far, we are left to conclude our series with the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies, rivers and seas boiling, 40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Wait, that's from Ghostbusters, I'm sorry, but you get the idea. When I was in seminary, my New Testament professor began his lecture on Revelation this way. A revelation reveals or discloses information. John's does not. There are not a lot of opening lines from grad school lectures I still remember, but that one stuck. Because there are more crazy ideas about the metaphors and meanings of John's revelation than there are book series, bumper stickers, and movies made about the rapture or the end of days. So many things said and wondered. So let's get the biggest thing out of the way. The book of Revelation is not a crystal ball into some apocalyptic future. It is not a literal prediction of things that are to come. If anything, It's a history of the oppression and fear that early Christians lived with. You see, when Rome began to take Christianity seriously, when it sort of showed up on their radar, it was because their self-proclaimed deity of a leader, the Caesar, didn't like the idea of competing for top billing. So Christians were martyred. They were murdered. They were thrown in arenas with lions for believing that Jesus was God instead of the Caesar. I mean, for them to look at a Roman persecutor and say, the one true God, the I am that is revealed in Jesus is more powerful than the ruler of our lands, well, that would be a death sentence. So instead, John told the story of God's overcoming through metaphoric story that the Romans wouldn't understand. The symbols, numbers, and imagery described the days as it was. John was indicating the Roman persecution were the forces of evil. And what does that revelation show us? That even amidst all those things, God prevails. That despite every human effort to subjugate, exclude, and oppress, God's love will still set a table where all are welcome. That when scarcity and hoarding define society, God will offer a tree of abundant life and a mighty river of justice. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among all people, and God will dwell among them, and they will be God's people, and God will be among them. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. This was the promise amidst persecution. That is what Revelation seeks to tell us. It's not a warning that we should build a bunker and fill it with Costco doomsday supplies. Quite the opposite. We are invited to trust in God's promise to nurture and provide abundantly. It's what Jesus lived and spoke of. But hidden a story, you wouldn't be thrown in the Colosseum with the lions for telling. It's the same story Paul wrote of in Ephesians. It's that same vision of all that God is doing. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. Revelation is a story of manna and mercy for all humanity. The culmination of God's endless desire for wholeness. It's not a book to be avoided. It's not a book to inspire nightmares and haunt your dreams. Within its vivid storytelling is the same promise that was made to humanity in creation. The same promise made to the Hebrew people in the wilderness. The same promise that sustained God's people in exile. The same promise that John the Baptist proclaimed. The same promise Jesus was and lived. The same promise found in the sharing of communion. It is a promise of divine presence. The divine presence with us and for us. A promise of God providing. A promise that the world can be just, can be beautiful, the world can be hopeful if we will trust and live in God's ways of being. You see, that is the final word of Scripture. It's not final because it's the last book in the mostly random order the Bible was assembled in. No, it's the final word of Scripture. Because it's the first word, the last word, and every word of Scripture. It is the word that spoke creation into being. It is the word that became flesh. It is the word we are meant to carry in our hearts every day. It is a word of life. A word of abundant life for all people. And the Lord said to me, these words are faithful and true. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.